Hello, everyone. Welcome back to For the Girls. This was such a fun return to the Chinese Grand Prix after F1's 5 years away, first time racing here since 2019. There were a lot of varied opinions on sprint races, but I think everyone can agree that this weekend was definitely exciting. And we cannot believe it, but the next race is the Miami Grand Prix. We will be there. We're so excited. Have a lot planned for the weekend, so definitely stay tuned. We cannot wait, and definitely let us know if you'll be there. We're going to do a meetup at some point over the weekend and can't wait to meet anyone who's going to be there. I'm Sarah.
I'm Tiggy.
And I'm Chessa. Okay, getting into our overall thoughts and takeaways for this weekend. I think on track, of course, there was so much going on between the sprint and the race itself. I think the big thing is that the energy at this race was so incredible. The track itself really performed. The racing was really nice. And I think this definitely secured the Chinese Grand Prix spot on the calendar for at least the next few years to come. And then, of course, we have to talk about the crowd. They just really came out. They were so happy. And having Joe have his home race was just really, really good energy throughout the entire weekend. I loved it.
Yeah, totally agree with the above. What a roller coaster weekend. It was so fun with the sprint, some fun weather, some shakeups throughout. I know that drivers were a little skeptical about the sprint situation, but I did think it actually added a lot to the weekend. Selfishly, as a Hamilton fan, I enjoyed that day. So that was fun. Just amazing races, racing throughout the weekend, such great energy, and I think the drivers really liked being back. They gave us a lot to talk about, so we have lots to dive into.
Definitely. I love this track. I'm so happy that logistically F1 was able to make it back to China after this time away. The big winding turns really let drivers pick different lines. It's just super unique that the sweeping turn one, turn two, I really, really like it. And the field overall, minus, of course, Max out front, was quite tight. It felt like drivers were able to follow really closely. We had a lot of fun wheel-to-wheel action between the Ferraris, the McLarens, Alonso, Mercedes. So a lot going on, some amazing overtakes around the outside of some of these long corners, which was just thrilling to watch. And, of course, the rain and the sprint weekend things a bit more exciting. So can't wait to get into it.
Yeah, it's so interesting, these outside overtakes. I think that's such a good point, because that was also seemed to be a trend in Japan. So I'm loving that these drivers are able to overtake on the outside. It just like makes it so much more fun to watch, and some more daring moves, which is so
fun. It's so fun to watch. And sometimes, especially through those big corners, you're like, how are they going to be able to stick that on track? It's crazy to watch. And in some instances, like Lando in the sprint, they are not actually able to hold it. But it was so impressive.
For sure. All right. So MVPs and LVPs. I'm going to go with two MVPs, which I know is a lot, but Hamilton and Lando. So just an absolute monster drive from Hamilton in the race, who started P18. He fell even further back on the softs and then just had overtake after overtake to finish P9 in the points. And then, of course, as we mentioned, P2 in the sprint and front row for sprint quali, which was really fun, especially with the rain and SQ3. So I think definitely a roller coaster weekend for him, but he managed to pull out some really great results and some really great overtakes and a good drive. So hats off to Hamilton. And then Lando, just amazing weekend, especially after McLaren thought that they wouldn't be good at this track. Like Norris was even, he said he was even betting pre-race how far behind Ferrari, how far behind they would be from Ferrari, but Charles finished 10 seconds behind him, Carlos 20 seconds behind him. And yeah, Norris finishing P2 in the race and having pole for the sprint race, even though he wasn't able to convert that into a podium, just really, really amazing drive from him all weekend.
For my MVP of the weekend, I'm definitely going to have to give it to Lando. It was just such an incredible drive to go from P4 to P2 when the top half of the whole grid is just so competitive. He did such an amazing job, and it was obviously so fun to see him, try to battle it out and did a really good job. And I obviously love seeing Lando, who's one of the youngest people on the grid, go wheel to wheel with Alonso, who is actually my second runner up for MVP.
For me, Red Bull, not the most original, but I do like to give them credit when, even though it's kind of expected at this point, they just continue to deliver at such a high level across the entire team. A great example of this is the pit stops. They did a double stack.
Oh my gosh.
It was absolutely unbelievable. They put Max in first with a 2.1 second stop and then Checo in on a double stack with a 2.0. Just crazy.
The announcers were like, what? Like, how is this even possible?
Absolutely insane. And it was a bit of a fun weekend where, of course, the Red Bulls are rocket ship, but we did get to see Max have some real world action. He started P4 in the sprint, so had to make a couple overtakes there. And then in a short race with only 20 something laps, or it was 19 laps, I think. Once he got into P1, he pulled out over a second a lap, which it's hard to even fathom how that's possible. He won the sprint by 13 seconds. And then in the race as well, we got to see exactly what they need from him.
100%. And even those safety car restarts, he timed it perfectly, just right out of the corner. So, so well executed. So not surprised ever at this point, but still amazing. And I thought it was really interesting. The announcers, when he won, was saying just his level of dominance is even a step forward from Schumacher, even a step forward from Hamilton. Like, we could probably debate this all day, but it's just, yeah, I think we're seeing something really amazing right now in history.
On the BBC podcast, which was interesting, they were having this debate and they were talking about the Ferrari era with Schumacher and Rubens Barrichello and how Schumacher was, it was a kind of another example of where there was a mega dominant car, a driver of a generation, one of the greatest of all times, and a teammate that couldn't really keep up, and how that's truly the perfect storm. But that was over 20 years ago and they weren't really able to think of examples since then, because even in the Mercedes dominance days, Rosberg was able to bring the fight a bit. And they made a really interesting comment. That was how in 2 years, I think it was 2014 and 2016, Lewis had the much worse luck than Rosberg on the reliability front. So that also, even though he was the stronger driver, that also evened things out a bit. And this is just, it's astronomical at this point.
Incredible. For LVPs, so not exactly an LVP, but I was a little bit sad for Ferrari that they had a tougher time this weekend in China. Even though they managed to get P4 and P5 in both the sprint and the race, I just felt like neither driver was super happy. And we'll talk about some of the drama they had during the sprint with their the Sainz-Leclerc fight. But yeah, I just think it wasn't as clean of a weekend that as we've been seeing from them. So I was a little bit sad for them, but obviously not horrible results ending where they ended up.
Totally. I'm going to give it to K-Mag. It seems like a bit of a pattern. I love that he's very aggressive in wheel-to-wheel racing. It's exciting, but at the same time, you really need to keep it clean and not be unnecessarily taking people out. And he just completely wrecked Yuki for no reason. It wasn't even as if he had a front wing significantly over and was actually going for the overtake. He basically just dive bombed in from the back. Yeah. Was not horrible track placement, just totally took out Yuki. And we'll get into this, a disaster of a weekend for VCarb through no fault of their own, which is always so hard to watch. And my other one is Stroll. That was another great example of just a totally unnecessary error. Stroll's is maybe a tiny bit more understandable than K-Mag because it was a huge bunch up under the safety car. There weren't a lot of places everyone could go, but still, he needed to have much better awareness and just completely wrecked Danny. And what's frustrating about that is then Stroll was blaming it on other people. And when he got the 10-second penalty, I was like, oh, this is so ridiculous. When I feel like in that case, when it's blatantly your fault, just own up to it and apologize.
Totally. And calling people names on the radio, I get it's all happening fast. There's a lot going on, but it just feels wrong. So how are hot takes held up? I just missed out on points with Joe finishing P9 in the sprint on Saturday because only the top eight get points in the sprint, and unfortunately no points on Sunday, but some amazing overtakes that he gave the fans in the grandstands, especially at one of those hairpins, which was so exciting, and just seeing the crowd go wild was amazing. But yes, another hot take, unsuccessful for me, continuing my streak.
It's hard.
Okay, for whatever reason, going into my hot takes for the weekend, I felt really confident. I had Max P1, which I guess happened, but I'm not going to count that for myself. And then I had Alonso P2 and then Ferrari P3. And yeah, none of that worked out for me. Okay, let's talk about practice. So what was really wild here was that a lot of the drivers have never driven at this track, and they And the ones that have hadn't been here since 2019. And there was only 1 hour of practice given the sprint weekend. So it was kind of like trial by fire. They were really under pressure here. Overall, pretty wild choice to have it be a sprint weekend, but more fun drama for us. Big thing to call out in practice is that Stroll topped practice, which was weird foreshadowing given how the rest of the race went. But people definitely got a little excited to start the weekend on that.
Let's jump into sprint quali and sprint highlights. This was the first sprint of 2024, and we're going to have another one in Miami. So big opener for the sprint weekend here. And this was the debut of a new format compared to 2023, which is really interesting. So last year we had quali for the actual race on Friday after only one practice. And then Saturday was a full sprint day with both sprint quali and the sprint. And this got a lot of criticism, I think pretty justifiably, that drivers and teams only had 60 minutes to get the car ironed out for Grand Prix quali, which is extremely difficult, especially for rookies. Any new conditions, any new tracks makes it very, very difficult. So for this year, instead, we have FP1 on Friday and then sprint quali. And then on Saturday, we have the sprint and then regular quali later in the day on Saturday. So even though it's sprints, you do have three sessions to kind of figure out the car for Saturday. But it's so interesting that this was the first race back since 2019.
Yeah.
A ton of drivers have never driven here, or if they have, it hasn't been for 5 years in a completely different generation of cars. And they only had 60 minutes of practice and then just had to go into quali for the sprint. Such a
crazy
challenge.
Yeah, I think we'll talk about our thoughts on the new sprint format, but I think some of it was also, some of the criticism was also Parc Fermé and not being able to change the setup after Friday, which you're locking in for a whole day. The risk of doing quali after the sprint is that if you get wrecked in the sprint, obviously that's really tough for quali later in the day, and you're potentially sacrificing some race points and some race performance. But yeah, I thought it was interesting. It seemed to go over pretty well. It allowed drivers to tinker a bit with their setups. I mean, some drivers had better than others. Like Hamilton seemed to go the opposite way, but we'll talk about that too.
For sprint quali, it was a rainy thriller indeed. For SQ1, there was some impeding issues and another very tough session for Gasly. So the cuts were Sargeant, Tsunoda, Albon, Ocon, and Gasly.
For SQ2, this is when it started to rain as the session went on. So it caused some shakeups, and we'll talk about how exciting SQ3 was. But for SQ2, the cuts were Stroll, Ricardo, Hulkenberg, K-Mag, and Russell. And that meant that both stakes, including Joe, were into SQ3, which was so exciting for the home crowd. So exciting for Joe. I'm really happy that he had that moment.
For SQ3, everyone went out with inters, but it was really tough conditions. Everyone was just struggling to keep the car on the track. The first big rain moment of this season, which was exciting. Max had multiple laps deleted for track limits, just literally not being able to keep the car within the lines. And then Lando got pole. It was huge. Woo-hoo. It was dicey for a second there because his lap also got deleted for track limits, but ended up being reinstated because obviously he did not get an advantage from running off the track in the rain. So very happy with that decision. I think that's an example of the stewards being practical and kind of understanding the situation on the ground. Also, for Tiggy, a huge surprise P2 from Hamilton. He was really able to show off his skills and experience in the wet conditions. It was very, very exciting.
I think it's so fun to see some of these older, more seasoned drivers when things start to go awry with conditions or strategy or whatever it is, because I think it really shows. And we saw this a lot with Alonso and
was
even over this weekend, Alonso. Yeah, just amazing. So I think it's really fun to see some of these veterans, I guess, for lack of a better word, really show off their skills when it gets wet, when things are not going according to plan. So
totally. The announcers were so excited. It was in the last couple laps of the race, Alonso's rears went onto the gravel. And I think a lot of other drivers, it would have been a massive spinoff. And Alonso was able to have this kind of lightning, quick reaction time, huge movement on the steering wheel, and just kind of snapped it right back onto the track. It was amazing.
The announcers were like, 40 years old and he still has the reflexes of like a young man. I'm like, yes, love that. So final SQ3 results, we had Lando P1, Hamilton P2, Alonso, Max, Sainz, and Checo. So definitely a bit different and more fun from what we usually see. It was really a good afternoon.
Okay, talking about the sprint race, we were treated incredibly well for this sprint race. It was so much fun. The main action here was the start of a big Hamilton-Lando battle for P2, and then Lando got too aggressive and then fell all the way down to P7. And this was actually a rare case of us actually getting to see Max make some solid overtakes and make his way up a few places. But like we've seen the past few years, no one really wants to fight that hard to defend him, including Lewis, because they kind of know it's just going to be futile and not really be their race when they're up against Max like that. But there was also a very exciting fight for P3, which we loved. Such a treat. Again, it was between Alonso, Sainz, Checo, and Leclerc.
The main drama or excitement here in the sprint was a big Sainz and Leclerc fight. Leclerc thought Sainz was trying to be a bit too aggressive. He forced Charles off at one point. Apparently, Fred Vasseur kind of had to talk to the drivers. Charles felt like Carlos was kind of driving as aggressively with him as you would if you were being aggressive with a non-teammate. And it seems like Charles was almost a little bit caught off guard by Sainz pushing so hard. But of course, Sainz is going to be pushing that hard. He's driving for his seat next year. But they basically touched at one point. It was definitely on the edge. And then the most insane stat, which we talked about, was Max started P4 and then beat Hamilton by 13 seconds in a 19-lap race. Absolutely wild.
It's fine. We're fine.
Yeah. Then we ended up with Max, Lewis, Checo, Charles, and Carlos. Again, Checo just hanging in there with a really solid performance. So what do we think about the new format? I do think it's a great point Tiggy made about it being much more concerning about incidents in the sprint because you need to turn your car around for quali. But I think it makes sense with having the sprint sessions be on the front end and then having quali later on, because that is just, I think, so much to ask to have 60 minutes on track and then go straight into quali.
Totally agree. I think so far I'm a fan of the new format. We'll see how it continues to play out. Like we said, we have Miami sprint literally the next race, so there's going to be some more data points for us. But I do think that it's a good change. I think the fact that they could come back after 5 years not at China, do a sprint weekend, even with like a lot of shakeups with the weather and other things going on, and have no major incidents throughout the weekend, I think is a pretty good testament to the drivers, but also hopefully this new format. So I was a fan.
Then on Saturday afternoon, local time, we got into race quali and had some big differences from the sprint that happened just earlier in the day. The starter was we had a shock exit from Hamilton in Q1 after such a huge sprint from him, which it was like whiplash. But like Tiggy was saying, Hamilton really kept morale up and was able to have an amazing drive on Sunday. So good for him. Out in Q1, we had Sergeant Tsunoda, Hamilton, K-Mag, and unfortunately Joe. Q2 was exciting. Sainz was pushing too hard, had a big spin, which caused red flags. Sainz was able to restart the car, though, and get back to the pit lane under his own power, which is a key point here because that's why he was able to rejoin the session. If your car stops and you need assistance from marshals to actually get your car back to the pit lane, that's when you can't restart the session. So that's why it's always key. If someone's able to get it into drive or able to reverse and hobble the car back, it's a huge win.
Hobble.
So impressive from the Ferrari mechanics. They were able to get Sainz out in the same session, and he made it into Q3. I think that was probably the highlight of his weekend. That was wild.
Yeah. So amazing.
Cuts were Gasly, Albon, Ocon, Ricciardo, and Stroll. So pretty strong showing from Ricciardo, but that means Bottas again in Q3 and Hülkenberg. Very exciting.
For Q3, of course, Max got pole, but there was a really fun battle for P2, an extremely strong showing from Alonso and the McLarens, and we ended up with Max, Checo, Alonso, Norris, and Piastri.
All right, so getting into the race, some overall highlights. This was an eventful race. So the first start, Max just absolutely launched off the line. It was a much better start than Checo. But then what was so exciting was Alonso's start. So amazing start from Alonso. He stuck it around the outside of Checo, managed to hang on, pushing the car so hard. You could see a little bit of a wobble at one point, but just amazing, amazing driving. Unfortunately, there were a few tough starts. So both Ferraris had a pretty tough start, were stuck battling Hulkenberg. And Carlos was trying to go around Charles on the outside, and Charles was pretty aggressive in holding his line. But yeah, it was a fun first start.
And then the first of two safety car restarts that we got. So we got multiple starts this race. Bottas had an engine failure on lap 21, sadly, which triggered quite the series of events for the rest of the race. At first, it was a virtual safety car. We had a lot of pit stops, but after a few laps, they were still struggling to get Bottas's car off. I think there was an issue with getting it into neutral or getting it into gear because they couldn't roll it. It was just stuck. You could see 10 people trying to move the car. So they had to switch to a full safety car, which eliminated Max's then 20-second gap ahead of Checo. Crofty, it was fun. I've talked about this a lot. I'm a big F1 TV loyalist. That's what I normally watch. But this weekend, I tried out ESPN, which gets the Sky Sports coverage. And Crofty was being hilarious. And he said at one point, he's racing against the clock, not racing against anyone else, which is completely true.
Yeah, it was wild that they took so long to make it a full safety car and even a virtual safety car. First, it was just a yellow flag and then the virtual safety car and then the full safety car. So it was like Lando missed the first pit on the virtual safety car because it just was taking a long time. But he managed to get in, which was good on the second go around. But yeah, I think interesting delays there.
Yeah, that felt like kind of the main logistical snafu of the weekend, I would say. That was a bit strange. It felt like they were really ambitious with trying to keep it to just yellow flags and then ambitious with trying to keep the virtual safety car. And that's such an important call to make when you're going to end up doing a full safety car regardless, because it can ruin people's races on pit strategy.
Totally.
So basically here, everyone was restarting behind the safety car on fresh, hard tires. And got to give it to him. Crofty said, quote, "This is going to get spicy." So the first three held positions with Max, Lando, and Charles out front. And then we immediately had another safety car due to the chaos that happened towards the back. So there was two big main incidents back here. First, before the actual restart, there was a pileup at the back with cars kind of following each other too closely. Alonso had a bit of a lockup, and then Lance fully rammed into the back of Danny, which caused floor damages, and Danny had to retire a few laps later. And for that, Lance got a 10-second penalty.
So second, after the start, K-Mag just absolutely took out Yuki, which we talked about. Definitely K-Mag's fault. Yuki was just minding his own business, doing his thing, was ahead, and K-Mag wasn't even really going for the overtake, but just cruised in from behind. Got a 10-second penalty for this, but just really sad and unlucky for V-Carb, not their fault at all. And even though there were 10-second penalties, the damage of a double DNF is definitely not fixed by that. So it was also just really sad watching Danny get out of the car, and the garage was just silent, and he walked right to the driver's rooms in the back. So really kind of a bummer. Over 10 laps were lost to the consecutive safety cars, but we finally got to the second restart.
And on the second safety car restart, ironically, we had a wild wheel-to-wheel battle between our two V-carb destroyers, K-Mag and Lance Stroll, on the restart. And then after the restart again, it was Max, Lando, and Charles with a battle for P3 shaping up between Charles and Checo. But Charles just did not have the race pace or the pace to fight that much. So that's what happened there. And again, just before we dive into teams, we have to do our radio of the week, which was just incredible. It was Joe saying, you know, all these things at the end of the race, thanking everyone. But the big thing was, quote, "Dreamt to be here as a kid, the first Chinese F1 driver to race at the Chinese Grand Prix." So heartwarming.
Okay, friends, it's festival and concert season, and you know it's all about the boots this year. That's why you need to make Tecovas your number one place for festival style this spring. And don't forget to shop their seasonal and limited edition offerings, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. We love Tecovas. They have a first wear comfort, which basically means there's no break-in period. It's the best thing ever. So stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personal.
personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's really no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it to a store, though, just visit tecovas.com, T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
We all need a little extra health boost sometimes, and Fleur Marché makes it easy for us to supercharge our wellness. Their botanical wellness patches have been such a fun addition to our routine. We just stick them on wherever we want. They have them for sleep, relaxation, focus, and other things. And the patch delivers ingredients to your body in a subtle but effective way, and the results last up to 12 hours. Fleur Marché also has botanical gummies and their new organic nutritional powder Green Machine. They only use the best ingredients and are tested for potency, contaminants, and heavy metals before and after production.
And one of our favorite things, we also love that the company is founded and inspired by women with the mission of helping us feel 100% every single day so that we can have full energy and crush it every day. Find your new wellness essentials at fleurmarché.com and get a special discount just for our listeners. Get 20% off your first order site-wide with promo code FORTHEGIRLS at checkout. Orders over $50 also get free shipping. Go to fleurmarché, FLEURMARCHE.com. Use code FORTHEGIRLS for 20% off your first order.
For Red Bull, like we said, just clinical performance and execution throughout the whole weekend, including with some unforeseens, like Tiggy was saying, with the rain, not the best sprint quality result they would have wanted, having to deal with two safety car restarts, and everything was perfectly executed down to that double stack. It was Max's 58th F1 win, his first win in China. So he'd only been in F1 for, I think, 2 years off the first
crazy
Chinese Grand Prix. And another strong weekend for Checo, really making the case for him being a reliable operator to get a P2, get a podium, which is really the case for his renewal. So I think things are looking good for Checo right now.
Definitely. For Ferrari, so the teammate drama that was bound to happen did happen, as we talked about in the sprint especially. And it feels like Carlos is being maybe a little bit aggressive and needing to drive for a seat here. And Charles maybe is feeling a bit fed up. We've definitely gotten some comments as we've talked about how Carlos has been outperforming Charles. And I think a lot of people's take is that Carlos is just really has a fire under him and his gunning because he has to. He's unemployed. He's in contract negotiations. And I think we'll have some amazing offers, but just has a different fire under him than Charles does right now. So I can kind of see where A, the good results for Carlos are coming, and B, the frustration from Charles if Carlos is feeling a little bit aggressive to him. But it was the first race all season, as we discussed, without a podium. They're still solidly ahead, but McLaren definitely has jumped up there, which is fun. So I guess the questions here, does the team need more rules in terms of their rules of engagement between the teammates? Like, I think we've seen this before. These are both feisty drivers. They're both very competitive. We've seen them fight each other on track, and luckily there haven't been any major disasters. But do you think that Fred needs to step in and maybe take the temperature down a little bit?
I don't know. I do like that Vasseur's mindset seems to be just let them race almost unequivocally. And I think the best example of this weekend was less traumatic than, I think it was Monza last year, where they were fighting for a podium and almost took each other out. And Fred was just letting them race lap after lap. All the Italian fans were probably about to pass out. And I do like that mentality overall. I think here it makes sense when we're not yet at a point, they're not fighting for a World Drivers' Championship. We're not at a point in the season where it's key for constructors or key for specific standings in the driver's standing. So I agree with letting them race when there isn't a particular strategy call or a specific reason to not. But I think that will change if, like Tiggy said, I don't know if it's luck or just they're able to find that really fine line. There have not been any major incidents yet. I think the first time they actually took each other out or had serious contact, it would become a very different conversation, because at that point you're costing money, you're costing points. And at this point, I think it's okay. But to what Tiggy was saying, it's interesting. I think Carlos is such a fire under him, and this was the first weekend this year where it felt like maybe he was kind of over-driving to his own detriment, which is what we've seen from Charles before when he was under pressure fighting for the championship against Max in the early stages in 2022. But Carlos making that error in quali, having these really tight situations with Charles. And it feels like on the flip side, this is the first weekend that Charles a little bit like, I'm going to fight back if we're going to be, if we're going to be racing like this.
Totally. I mean, just to the Fred point, I think you look like a genius when you're not wrecking, but it's such a fine line because if you're going to let them race as soon as something happens, like it's on you because you didn't like, you didn't lay down the law when you needed necessarily. But for now he looks like a genius. One thing about Ferrari we should chat about, I guess, with Carlos is Helmut Marko's comments about how Red Bull can't match or beat the offer that Audi has given Carlos. And I think Christian was unhappy with Helmut speaking out about this, saying that these matters are sort of private and a little bit speculative. But I think that was interesting comments and just makes you think that whatever Audi is coming to Carlos with is probably astronomical. And Red Bull, I don't know if it's that Red Bull can't beat it. It's probably that they don't want to beat it, but I'm curious, Sarah, your thoughts on this.
Yeah, I think that's the better phrase, because what was fascinating about that is you don't, driver salaries are not a part of the budget cap, so they can be astronomical. We know that Lewis and Max both have huge 50 million odd deals. I'm sure Lewis's going to Ferrari was massive. We don't typically think of Red Bull as having some type of budget
strapped
concern.
For cash.
Yeah. So it was a weird way. You're right. It's a weird way he phrased it. I think the truth is probably that they're just not interested in matching whatever that offer is when, as we've been saying, Checo is really putting in solid performances here. But a very interesting comment to make publicly, and I'm happy for Carlos that at least it seems like he has one big team fighting for him and willing to put down huge money for it.
Okay, let's get into Mercedes. Honestly, a pretty heroic drive from Hamilton, despite the car being literally nowhere near what they wanted, and starting in P18 to finish in the points at P9 is just incredible. Hats off to him. He's such a legend. The big bright spot here was that he had P2 in the sprint as well, which is, you know, great to show that they have some of the speed, but further evidence of how unpredictable the car can be between sprints and qualies and race and everything like that. So a lot to work on there, and I think the team has mentioned as much that they feel like they have a lot to come back from, but a few bright spots there, and Lewis just had an excellent weekend given everything that he was kind of up against.
For McLaren, amazing weekend, as we talked about, from Lando, big P2 race finish, pole for the sprint. It definitely felt like his first major, major moment this year, and a big reminder of what hopefully he'll be able to do more consistently once he's in a top 1-2 constructor's car, which McLaren is definitely chipping away and hopefully getting there. But yeah, Lando, super impressed from him this weekend. It was unfortunately a tougher race for Oscar. Significant damage after getting dinged by Danny in that domino where Stroll rammed into the back of Danny, but still got a pretty good points haul in P8. So good weekend for McLaren after their massive, I don't know if we want to call it massive sandbagging, but it did feel like they were not feeling good about this track. So I'm happy that it didn't turn out that way.
For Aston Martin, the commentators were loving Alonso this weekend, like we were saying, with the excitement of his reaction time. He said at one point he's rolling back the years with a Piastri start, had that insane save on lap 49. Just a great weekend for him, and it felt like he's really outperforming the car. He was definitely wearing out the tires and kind of surpassing the car's capabilities in the opening of the race, but it's amazing to see what he can do when the car is performing. On the other hand, Lance, not the best weekend, made quite a few people upset. So first he kind of pushed Hülkenberg off the track on lap one. The stewards didn't take further action, but then of course, now infamously rammed into the back of Danny. Crucially here, it was not even under race conditions. It was under the safety car. And it was a bit of a difficult situation where Alonso was kind of locking up or running off a bit, and the cars were just super, super packed in tight, but still. And then also blaming it on other people, just not great. Interestingly, in an interview this week, the Honda president, Koji Watanabe, said their goal is to, quote, become world champion from 2026 onwards through the Aston Martin partnership. So stay tuned.
We talked about this hot take a bit. I can see Aston Martin really climbing the ranks for 2026. I mean, they're already getting up there for these regulations, but I can definitely see it.
It's also interesting in terms of Lance's future with a big new engine partner coming in.
Yes.
With new investors, new stakes and interests in the team. If the Honda team's coming in wanting to be world champions, I'm sure they're making a case to have a different driver pairing.
Totally. And Alonso is already locked in, signed. Yep. He's the poster child of Aston Martin for the next several years. I think, if I had to guess, I think Stroll is going to be calling it quits, if not at the end of this year, definitely the end of 2025.
I think you're right.
Oof. Okay. Talking about V-Carb, it was a very, very disappointing race for them with a double DNF through absolutely no fault of their own. It just so happened that, you know, they got caught in the kerfuffle, if you will, and had two DNFs. And then to add insult to injury, Danny got a 3-place grid penalty for the sprint in Miami due to passing Hulkenberg behind the safety car. So went from bad to worse, and it's going to affect him in Miami.
For Williams, not the best pit lane start for Logan due to some car updates. And then he got a 10-second penalty and 2 penalty points on his super license for a safety car infringement and finished the last of the cars that finished. This safety car infringement, I think, was a really close call. It was just, he was literally a fraction of a second. I think it was Hulk coming out of the pit lane. So really just such a bummer for him and kind of unlucky. But yeah, I guess that's how it goes. It's a cruel business.
I know. I think that's an example of where the penalty feels so harsh to get 10 seconds for that, which is a super innocent safety car issue when it was extremely chaotic. Everyone was pitting. It's not as if he impacted anyone's race versus the equivalent is a 10-second penalty, the same amount of time for ruining a V-carb, which that felt a situation where I don't know if – even if it's technically under the rules, clearly a 10-second penalty for a safety car infringement, but that just feels harsh.
Totally agree. Albon, P12, it was a quieter race for him. He mostly managed to stay out of the chaos, but yeah, nothing major to write home about for Williams, but at least there was no major chassis debacle where they're shipping the car back and forth across the world again. So they should have a spare chassis for Miami, which hopefully they're out of the woods at this point on that issue.
For Alpine, it was Gasly's first time getting out of Q1, but sadly the luck kind of ended there. He had a nightmare of a pit stop. It was a full 20-second stop, and it was actually quite scary. One of the rear wheels, it didn't get stuck. It got taken off, and then the next wheel got put on, but it wasn't put on properly. So Gasly got the signal to start driving away, but it totally took out the mechanic who was still holding on to that wheel. Thankfully, the reporting seems to be that he was not seriously injured, but definitely really banged up. It was scary and a good reminder of how it's dangerous being these mechanics. We really need to prioritize safety in the pit lane.
Totally agree. And Ocon, I think, finished P11. So P11, P13, again, not the best for Alpine, but it's better than P19 and P20. So hopefully on the up. For Stake/Sauber. So poor Bottas, we talked about his DNF on lap 21 with a full engine failure. And then a P14 finish for Joe. Again, he missed out on points at home, but gave the crowd a lot to cheer for, and just his emotion at the end and how much it means to him and how he's dreamt of this as a kid. And the picture of him before the race that he posted, there were multiple of them, but the one that he posted on his like Instagram, main Instagram, with him as a child, I think it was in like 2005 or something, at the race, just so cute. And it just reminds you how long these people have been working for this, and to fully realize that, even without points, for the first time being the first driver of your home country of over a billion people to drive in an F1 race at home, it means so much. So I think sometimes we can lose sight of that, but I think it was amazing. And then my favorite stake moment of the race was the announcer on F1 TV when they had a good pit stop for Joe. And the announcer goes, "Holy moly, a 3-second pit stop from Sauber." Let's go, Sauber. And for Haas, we had points for Hulk, which is awesome. So P10 after a strong weekend. Hulkenberg just, I think, continues to do pretty well here in the Haas. And we talked about K-Mag's less stellar weekend and our feelings about that. But yeah, happy for Haas, happy for Hulk, and hopefully they can continue that streak.
For standings in the Drivers' Championship, we have Max with 110, Checo with 85. Then Leclerc and Sainz are pretty close. Leclerc's got 76, Sainz with 69. And then Norris has 58. Big jump for him with that podium finish. Piastri's got 38, Russell 33, Alonso 31, Hamilton 19, and then Stroll 9. For Constructors, Red Bull is 195. Ferrari's 151, so still a huge gap ahead of McLaren here, which is 96. Mercedes, 52. Aston, 40. V-Carb, 7. Haas, 5. And then three teams still have 0 points. That's Williams, Alpine, and Sauber.
Well, thank you guys so much for tuning in. This was such a fun race back after 5 years, and we have so much coming for you ahead of Miami, at Miami, after Miami. So stay tuned for all of that. We literally are over the moon. We cannot wait for this weekend, the next race. But reminder to keep playing on Grid Rival, and there are prizes available, $1,000 in total, and there's a special prize for Patreons as well. So yeah, super excited to keep playing and keep chatting with you guys on that and on Discord, and we'll catch you soon.